setbacks, anxieties, conflicts. They're normal life, aren't they? We've just demonstrated that because we all put our hands up. They're part of normal life, but they're all the more so for us who are Christians because we are in a spiritual battle. And the enemy is opposed to us and will always remain so. And of course, Jesus promised us this is exactly what we would have. Because you remember, he said, in this world you will have tribulation. And I don't know what the word used in the NIV is, but certainly in the good old authorized versions, but it says, in this world you will have tribulation. That word tribulation actually is a very important word because it comes from the Latin tribulum. And a tribulum was like a sledge that had 6-inch nails banged through it with the points facing downwards. And there was a piece of rope on the front. And it was the way they threshed corn. They would go into the farmyard, they'd have a big post there, and there'd be a donkey or an ox, that's right, thank you, couldn't remember the word. And he'd be going around, and somebody would be standing on this tribulum, and all the corn would be all the way around, and he'd just go round and round and round, and that way it would thresh the corn. And in this world, you'll have tribulation, you know. When we go through these conflicts, these problems, these anxieties, it's just like we're lying on the ground and there's a sledge going over us with 6-inch nails just tearing in our back, don't you think? And we just, that's just how we feel. So it's a good word, was that. You know, things like long-term family discord, where one family member may not be speaking to another. Maybe mother and child, maybe two sisters. My cousin, Margaret, bless her, her two daughters, they haven't spoken to each other for probably 20 years over the most stupid little thing, which actually one of them even forgot what it was about, but they don't speak to each other. Family conflict. And long-term problems like long-term illness that doesn't seem to go away, or divorce and its consequences, long-term things, or shorter-term things. You know, we face possible redundancy. So we have financial pressures that keep us awake. Financial pressures do, don't they? And we risk losing our job, so therefore we might risk losing our house. There's so many problems like this. Maybe somebody or something is standing in the way of what we've set our heart on doing. It's an obstacle, and we can't move any further. These hindrances and anxieties, they happen to us on different levels. They happen to us physically, because often we do lose sleep and, you know, we're just feeling so bad. It can happen to us emotionally, mentally, the mental pain, the anguish that we go through. It can happen to us spiritually and circumstantially. Now, living next to a neighbour, for instance, who is playing his music at 180 decibels and has his window open, and he is about 3 metres away from your window. And that happens day after day, night after night. We have a friend, and their next door neighbour always used to park their van in his drive, just simply because he was aggressive and didn't like this guy. A conflict like that, that you just don't think you can get out of, and you've tried all these ways, and we just can't do it. That's circumstantial. It feels like when we get to these situations, we've reached an impasse and we can't see any way forward. We can't see any way out at all. We're there, and as far as we can see, we're there forever. But God is not bound by time. He sees the beginning and the end of our life in one whole, in one whole. He's not bound by time. And he sees that we are going through, we are passing through, and he sees that there is an end to these things, but we can't see that. Let's just look at a couple of verses, 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. A furious squall came up. Setback. And the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Setback. And actually, if you read Matthew's version of this, it doesn't just say a furious squall. It says, without warning, a furious squall. And actually, that word in Greek for furious squall actually means hurricane, just like these poor communities in the Southwest Atlantic are experiencing right now. No home. I mean, how is that for a troublesome time? How is that for long-term difficulty? How is that for not knowing how ever they're going to rebuild the house? They're not insured. Where's the next meal going to come from? The things that were so precious to them drowned in water. So this hurricane blew up with no notice whatsoever, and the waves were lashing over the boat, and it was filling the boat up. But what had Jesus just said to them?
Go up to the other side.
That's right. Thank you, David. We knew David would know. Let us go to the other side. So where were they going to get to? The other side. Was there any doubt about that? There's no doubt about that at all, was there? Let us go to the other side. And they were going to get there. And where's, in that storm with 9-foot high waves and the wind lashing over the boat and filling it up, where was the safest place to be? Yeah, come on, let's say it. Where's the safest place to be? In the boat with Jesus. In that storm with Jesus. In that impasse, where the disciples thought they're never going to get to the other side, they were going to sink to the bottom of Lake Galilee. That was the safest place to be. Not on the land. I said that God is not bound by time. We are, but he's not. I've been doing the little thing, you know. I've been doing the thing that makes the laser beam. I'm going to laser beam you all. Right. Now, you all know what that is, of course. God sees our life from beginning to end. He sees it right now. Wherever we are, whatever our age is, he sees our life just like that. He knows where the beginning was. He knows what the end is going to be. And he knows the going. But what happens on the way, through our lives, we meet obstacle after obstacle, conflict after conflict, trouble after trouble, pain after pain. And we have the faith to go through the first one, and there are others ahead. And throughout our lives, there are these obstacles, some big, some small. We have the faith to go through the first one, and a bit of energy to do that, and we emerge, and we just about, a little bit more faith, a little bit more energy, we can make our way through the second. But then comes the big one. Then comes this massive problem in the middle of which we find ourselves. And we think, as we're going through this, maybe month after month, year after year, we're facing this problem. And we think what we're doing, we're going round and round and round in some confused way. We don't know if we're going left or right or up or down. We're just here. And these waves are pouring over our boat until we just emerge the other side. Only to face the next obstacle, we hit that barrier there, and we have no more faith left, we have no more energy left, we have no more persistence left, and we run off the frame of our life. And our life just changes. We've changed the whole course of the direction of our lives has altered. But that is not so with God. The way God sees it is that. He is going to bring us through. He's totally in control. He hasn't left us. He hasn't forgotten about us. There is nothing whatsoever we have done that is going to cause us to fall off the path that he has for you and for me. Nothing. Whatever we do, it's like that for him. Somebody once said to me, I thought God didn't love me anymore because I was facing so much struggle. How sad. That's the reality the whole time. There is only, in God's economy for each of us, there is only one plan, and that is plan A. God does not have plan B. That looks like plan B. God has no plan B. God has no plan B, or C, or D. With God, there is only plan A. When Jesus said, let us go to the other side, that was his plan, and he was going to get there. And so were the disciples. Even if there's only 1 inch left of the boat that was not full of water, he was going to get there. And he has said to you and to me, I have a plan for her life. I have a plan for his life. I have a plan for their life as a married couple, as a family, as a single person, as a person with a job, as a person without a job, as a person going through conflict now, as a person who knows they're a sinner. None of that makes any difference. He still has plan A for your life. And this is the grace, this is the mercy, this is the joy, that however much we sin, we don't fall off the scale. Because he still has plan A. It's still his plan A. How does it work out? I don't know. But it does. It works out in his economy. It's still plan A. However much we foul it up, and however long we're fouling it up for, or it gets fouled up in our lives to us, he still has this plan A. Has anybody ever read that lovely Corrie ten Boom book? What was it called? No Hiding Place, yeah. Do you remember that lovely time where she had this dream, I think it was, of there was Jesus sitting on his chair, and he had a one of these when you're sewing a well, all these medieval tapestry. That's right. He was sewing a tapestry on a little round frame, and Corrie ten Boom was a little child, and she was sitting on the floor looking up at him, and she could just see the underside of this frame with this tapestry, and all the silver and blue and red and black and green and yellow threads were going all over the place. It looked terrible. And she said, oh, Lord Jesus, is that what my life is like? It's terrible. And he said, no, come and look at the top side. And she got up and she looked, and there was this beautiful tapestry of her life that he was weaving for her with such delight. And so it is for you, and so it is for me. Jesus is sitting there right now with a lovely tapestry for your life, and they're beautiful threads. They're gold and they're silver and they're red and they're purple. However much we fold it up, that's the glory. That's the glory. So from all this, we can derive a very important spiritual principle, and it's this. The way forward in our lives is through. The way forward is through. Let's say that. The way forward is through. You see, God really takes us out. He won't just hoik us out of something. He can do. But there's a reason for him taking us through. However short it is, however long it is. And it's not that God has abandoned us. It's not that God is out of control in our lives. He's not deaf to his beloved, to you and me. But there is this perfect God-appointed plan that he has, that we go through these things. I'm sure you've heard it said that the children of Israel, that you can walk from the Red Sea to the Promised Land in a fortnight, in 14 days. Yet God had Israel sojourning through the whole of the desert for 40 years in the blazing sun in the day and the freezing temperature at night. Because he had a purpose for them. He had a purpose that they should grow in trust in him, that they should grow in maturity. It's this God-appointed reason that he takes us through. Because we come out the other side and we look back at what we've gone through and we say, Lord, you were there all the time. Anybody ever said that? I said that so many times. Have you done that? You come out, you look back and say, Father, you were there. And don't you also look back and say, Lord, I've grown in trust. And so the next obstacle I'm going to enter in greater peace. And this has happened to me over the whole of my life. With all the obstacles I've gone through, the next one I meet, I just enter it with more and more peace. That's okay. God's with me. It's another of those things. But God's with me, and I enter into each new obstacle with greater trust, with greater confidence. And that exactly is why God had Israel going around in the desert for 40 years, so they could trust in him. They could look to him for provision in every single possible way. And so the important thing for us there's one vital question for us to ask when we are in this desert of ours, and that is, Lord, what is it that you want to teach me in this desert? Because there is something, and actually, he's going to keep us in that desert until we've learned it. Okay, we might not learn it totally 100%, you know, but we might learn it just by another 10%, and we emerge to the next one, we learn it a bit more, and a bit more, and a bit more. But he keeps us in the desert as long as it's necessary for us to learn what he wants us to learn at that particular time. And you know, the way through and the way out may well not be the way that we expected it to be. In fact, it probably isn't. Take divorce, for instance, or take long-term illness, or take anything long-term, or even short-term. The way we will be different when we emerge, because he will have made us different. But this way through, this way out, some of us may not even in this room be aware that we are already emerging on that way out. We haven't yet become aware of it, but that's okay. You are on your way out, and you will become aware of it in the Holy Spirit's time. So God's perfect plan for you and me is not one of ease. It's one of maturity. What is maturity? Maturity is growing more like Jesus in who he is and what he does. Both those things. That's his lesson for us, that we become more like Jesus. Now, when Jesus said, let us go to the other side, he chose very carefully two words that we don't see in the English. That word go, actually, diechomai, that word literally in the Greek means let us pass through. doesn't just, it's not go. He said to his disciples when he was on that bank, let us pass through. And he didn't just say the other side. He said, let us pass through to Paran. That's the word, Paran. Translated here, the other side. But actually, what the Greek actually means, Paran, is beyond. And more specifically, it even means beyond to other realms. I wish there was time for me to show you that more, A, from the scriptures, and B, by dividing up those words more. So what he was actually saying to his disciples when he got in that boat is, let us pass through beyond to other regions. And do you know what he did this is chapter 4. Do you know what he did if you read chapter 5? He cast out innumerable demons and he raised a girl from the dead. The very next chapter. And he is calling us. He's calling us to go through. He's calling us beyond. He's calling us beyond where we are now. He's calling us to other regions because he has a way for us to walk with him. And he's always going to be with him. Whatever we're going through now, we're passing through. Dear brothers and sisters, you're passing through obstacles. You're just passing through. You're just on your way through. You're going to come out the other end. God isn't flummoxed and put his hand on his hip and say, well, I never thought that was going to happen to him. He's got a plan A for you, and it has not changed, and it never will. He's constantly calling us to go beyond where we are now. And the end result, as I just said, is always better and more wonderful than it was at the beginning. I wouldn't mind coming through some big problem and going and delivering somebody of 100 demons and raising the dead, would you? There's more for him to do in life. You see, this is what it means to become more like Jesus. It's just lovely, loving Jesus. No, it's character. I know I said it before, forgive me. It's character and commission. It's attribute and action. It's who he is and what he does. And he calls us to do both and to walk along with him in becoming more like who he is and more of what he does. So he hasn't lost sight. He hasn't abandoned us. He still rejoices in us. Still rejoices, whoops with joy with each of us in his arms. And he looks at us whatever we're going through now. So keep on walking through. Keep on walking through. Keep on walking through. Because you will emerge. You will emerge out the other end. And you will emerge stronger. You will emerge in more peace. You will emerge in greater trust in him. You see, he said at the end, where is your faith? Well, actually, that faith and trust are the same word in Greek. So he could have said, where is your trust? Didn't you trust me? So keep on walking through and let's trust him. Because he's got a wonderful route for you and me to go. And if you're facing conflict and obstacles, and it looks right now that there is no way out, I promise you in the name of the Lord, you will emerge, and you will emerge stronger, and you will emerge in greater confidence and joy. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. You know, this really fits in with what Esther's been saying. If you are going through, if you're facing conflict now, maybe not with anybody or in any situation, but in yourself, where do I go? What do I do? How can I get out of this? If you feel like this tribulum is being drawn across your back, if you have this knotted up stomach inside and this confusion in your mind and your brain, and you've been in this situation for some time and you can't see your way out, I'd like you to come here now. And as you do, you are going to be walking that much further out of this obstacle. I have been walking through something now since the middle of 2014, and it's now the middle of 2017, and I'm just beginning to come out of it. From August this year, I can see myself coming out of it now with such joy, with such peace. Oh, thank you, Lord. And if that's you, if you're in the middle of one of these obstacles right now, I want you to come forward now. And we're going to pray for you. And with every step you take from where you are going to be walking out of that, and you're going to be walking through it.
Thank you, Chris. Such wisdom and such truth. Thank you. Would the worship team come on up? We want to continue to give the Holy Spirit time to come and bring freedom, ultimately, to free us. And I just also feel, as important as it is to get prayer, we need to, wherever we are, whatever state we're in, be thanking God for what lies ahead. And it says in the Bible about, do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, bring your requests to God with thanksgiving. We've got to thank God. It's a mindset. So where you have been feeling anxious and where you have lacked peace, just where you are, you don't have to come forward, but where you are, just thank God for what it looks like ahead. Thank God that there is going to be peace ahead, because it will come. It will come. That's such an amazing illustration that God is so consistent and steadfast and so direct. It's us that complicate it. So as the worship team just lead us in a moment of worship, if you want to come up for prayer, then please do. If you want to respond to the earlier word and you just feel like fear is holding you back, I just encourage you just to come to see what God wants to do.